introduce a little anarchy. Upset the established order.
Launch control. We are going for launch.
Iconoclast, and you're listening to the Casey Ferguson Show.
Double shot of wild, double shot of crazy. You are listening to the Casey Ferguson Show on Emerson Island Radio 92.1 FM.
Get to Madlock! Madlock!
Yes, it's Casey Ferguson here, the Super Dave Osborne of Kingston Community Radio, behind the wheel of the Rockmobile once again with another episode of the audio equivalent of a head-on collision, the Casey Ferguson Show. Def Leppard kicking us into gear there with their rendition of the Iggy and the Stooges classic Search and Destroy.
Excellent!
Now, you might be thinking, Casey, that didn't sound like Def Leppard. Well, that's because one of the band's guitarists, Phil Collin, is singing on that track and not frontman Joe Elliott. In fact, Phil Collin is playing all of the instruments on that particular tune.
But wipe.
I'm not gonna lie, my friends, my pants are getting tighter just thinking about the show that I have in store for you rapscallions. The beautiful, the busty, the B-movie queen herself, Sybil Danning, will be on the program. Yes, the Sybil Danning from films such as Battle Beyond the Stars, Hercules, Rob Zombie's Halloween, and the Quentin Tarantino, Robert Rodriguez collaboration Grindhouse will be on this very show. If that wasn't enough, I also have music on the way from Godsmack, UPO, and Concrete Blonde, among others, so fill your glass, let's kick some ass. Here's a solo track from Jon Bon Jovi. This is Mr. Big Time on the Casey Ferguson Show.
If you don't like the Casey Ferguson Show, you can go suck a basilisk.
Look on your face. You tried to hold me.
I know where you live.
Broken bones, broken hearts, stripped down and torn apart. A little bit of rust, I'm still running. Counting miles, counting tears, twist the road, shifting gears. Year after year, it's all or nothing. But I'm not home, I'm not lost, still holding on to what I got. Ain't much left. There's so much that's been stolen. I guess I've lost everything I've had, but I'm not dead, at least not yet. Still alone, still alive, still unbroken. I'm still alone, still alive, I'm still unbroken. Never never tamed, wild horses on the plains. You can call me lost, I call it freedom. I feel the spirit in my soul. There's something, Lord, I can't control. I'm never giving up while I'm still breathing. I'm not home, I'm not lost, still holding on to what I got. Ain't much left, Lord, there's so much that's been stolen. Guess I've lost everything I've had. I'm not dead, at least not yet. Still alone, still alive, still unbroken. All running through my veins like a river pouring down into the ocean. I'm out here on the streets, but I'm standing on my feet. Still alive, still alone, still unbroken.
beyond measure. You are listening to the Casey Ferguson Show on Amherst Island Radio 92.1 FM. Lynyrd Skynyrd there was Still Unbroken. Yes, they wrote songs that are not Sweet Home Alabama or Freebird, but then you wouldn't know that if you were listening to a commercial radio station, now would you?
Look, our ratings are down and the station is being swamped with angry calls and letter bombs. And it's all your fault.
Yes, it is, ma'am.
This is the DJ 3000. It plays CDs automatically, and it has three distinct varieties of inane chatter.
Hey, hey, how about that weather out there? Whoa, that was the caller from hell. Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Man, that thing's great.
Don't praise the machine.
Mercy Dry, Burning My Light before that, and kicking off that trifecta of tasty tunage was John Bon Jovi by way of the Armageddon soundtrack. The song is called Mr. Big Time. My next guest has been called the world's number one female action star by Entertainment Tonight and queen of the action flicks by Playboy magazine, to which she has graced the cover. She has starred in mainstream films such as Rob Zombie's Halloween and the Quentin Tarantino Robert Rodriguez collaboration Grindhouse, as well as numerous cult classics such as Chained Heat, Reform Schoolgirls, Hercules, and The Howling 2. Is it just me, or did it just get hot in here? This is my interview with Sybil Danning on the Casey Ferguson Show. This is Casey Ferguson. You are listening to the Casey Ferguson Show. I have the beautiful Sybil Danning on the phone. Welcome to the show, Sybil. How are you, my dear?
I'm wonderful, Casey. How are you?
Oh, geez. Any better I could pole vault.
Do you have any snow up there yet?
It's starting to come down. Yeah, we got our first snow that stayed on my birthday just a few days ago, and I'm not really a big snow guy, so I'm not looking forward to it, but there's a lot of people already got their skates out and they're ready to go.
Well, happy belated birthday.
Oh, why thank you, Sybil. That's very sweet of you. I turned 34.
Oh, wow. You're a baby.
Well, I've been told that before, yeah.
I can send you some warmth. As you've seen here in California, we have plenty of fire going on. So in case it gets too cold, I'll send you some warmth.
I'll take any warmth you want to send me, Sybil.
Yeah, great.
Now, you've got lots of projects on the go right now. The first one I wanted to talk to you about was this vampire movie you're working on.
Well, I can't say too much because it's under wraps, including the title. All I can say is it's going to be, of course, wonderful vampire movie. And because there have been so many done, as all my fans out there know, and you very well know, it has to be special. And it is going to be special mainly because it looks like I'm going to have Stan Lee in the movie, because when we've known each other for years and we've been admirer of each other's work, and we bump into each other here and there at shows, and last time we met, the usual, what are you up to, Sybil? And I said, I have this idea for a vampire movie, and I'm also going to write it. And he said, I want to be in it, but you have to bite me. I said, Stan, you got it. I'm going to bite you. And then he goes on and he says, oh, but you know, just write me a cameo because, you know, I'm so busy. I'm here and there and everywhere and really busy. I don't have time for more than a cameo. So that's what I'm doing. And it was not easy to come up with an idea of how to take advantage of this wonderful superhero himself and creator of superheroes, how I can integrate him into a vampire movie where he is going to be special in his brief appearance that he wants to make. So that was and still is a challenge. I'm still writing. I have a co-writer. Steve Latshaw is co-writing it with me, but it's basically my story. Stay tuned, and we're working very hard on it. We are coming close to the end of the first draft, so we're coming along just fine with it. But like I said, it has to be special, and of course, you know, I love The Howling 2, like all the many, many fans out there of mine, and it's now out again on Blu-ray. I was the first blonde werewolf, so that was special for that kind of a werewolf movie, and we're going to have special things in my vampire movie, which I think everyone will love. It's, of course, going to have its dark sides, but then again, vampires are dark, aren't they? They're dark, they're beautiful, they're sexy, and that's what it's all about.
Absolutely. Well, if Stan Lee gets to get bitten, I want to get bitten too. I mean, I it doesn't even have to be on camera, Sybil. I mean, you know, you just be in a parking lot somewhere. I don't care, but...
Oh, okay. Well, but you know what's going on here in the United States about that. You know, we got to be careful how we talk about those kinds of things, you know?
Yeah.
You want me to harass you. Is that it? Yes? You want me to sexually abuse and harass you? Is that it? Oh, dear, oh, dear. We could get into trouble.
Well, hey, you call it anything you like. I just call it a good time.
Yes. And if it's consensual, all the more, right?
Absolutely. Well, yeah, it is unfortunate what's going on over there. I mean, you know, it's just sad that things are that way in the entertainment business and there's so much of it. But I don't know. I don't want to get too sidetracked with all that because that's a big topic for another day, I reckon. And you got so much going on that I want to cover. And, you know, much like we're talking about Stan Lee. And of course, that leads me to your comic. I mean, pretty cool that you got a comic out.
Yes, thank you. Well, I don't know if you have seen, I'm sure my fans have because it was very successful. It was sold worldwide called L.A. Bounty. L.A. Bounty is an action movie that I did where I play a Los Angeles police cop who takes in Wingshauser, wonderful actor, and because I'm so eager to bring him in, I forget to read him his Miranda rights. And so, of course, that's a no-no. And the police chief says, okay, you didn't read him his Miranda rights, we're going to let him go, and we're going to let you too, because that is the punishment I got. So when they get me off the force, I decide to go after him anyhow, because that's how much I want to bring this guy to justice, and that's what that story was about. And so in L.A. Bounty, I go on to basically, like a bounty hunter, go after him after I've been thrown off the force. Now, that movie went worldwide, even to Russia, and I'm happy to say I remember that the first movies that went into Russia were maybe 5 or 6, and among them were Rambo and Commando and L.A. Bounty.
Oh, wow.
So the Russians got a little taste of, we've got some tough women in the States, too, that can pick up a gun and shoot you if you're doing wrong, you know. So I did not own that movie. It was very successfully, you know, distributed worldwide, but I owned the character. And the character's name in there was Ruger, like the German gun, Ruger. And so I decided to take that character and start a new franchise on my own that I own. And so now I have this new screenplay, which is called Ruger. And based on that screenplay, I have the first issue out of Ruger, the comic book, issue number 1. We're developing now number 2 and then 3, and then it's going to be a graphic novel. And I'm also talking to, and I might have some very good news, but I don't want to jinx it, but you'll be very interested in the who I am talking to about a possible, either doing it as a movie, which I, of course, have the screenplay for, but maybe also as a TV series based on Ruger and based on my screenplay, for which I also have what we call in the movie business the Bible, with ideas for episodes so that we can do and make a TV series. So I will be in talks with someone still in the month of December. They're just completing a movie, and we're going to start negotiations. So if that goes through, we might have something to talk about the beginning of the year of who's going to be involved in the making of a movie / or it could become a, you know, the first of a series. We could do it as a movie and then the TV series to follow. And also, I want to do a video game of Ruger, and of course a music video, all that. We already had a music video for L.A. Bounty, and it was very successful, so that's a very, very fun project, and it's been close to my heart for a long time, and I'm looking forward to doing that. I'm hoping that we're talking, again, I can't say, but we are talking right now to, when I say we, that's my publisher out of New York, my comic book publisher, who knows a very, very top, I know him too, comic book artist, mainly for covers, because we're already contracted for the comic book, and that is Scott Ambruson. But for the cover, we might have this wonderful top Marvel comic book artist do the cover for issue number 2. So that's well in the works, and I'm very excited about that.
Well, it certainly sounds like there's a lot of possibilities there. I mean, the character's certainly got a lot of legs. Well, the character's got a lot of things, but that's besides the point. But, you know, nonetheless, it definitely sounds like, you know, you've got a lot of possibilities going forward with the Ruger character.
Yes, yes. And the comic book was, I'm very thankful, because nowadays it's not easy. If if you're not a $100 million movie that the studios brought out, to have a comic book and to do it as an independent, what's very important is the owner of and my publisher in New York, and he is the one who loved the idea and got behind it. His company, for anyone else who wants to do, you know, New York is not so far away. The company is called Scare Tactics Graphics, and Tactics is with an X, so it's Scare Tactics, T-I-X, Graphics at the end, an X, and it's basically www.scaretacticsgraphics.com. Wonderful, wonderful publisher, and when he loves a project, he gets behind it. It's so seldom. But also for comic book lovers out there, I want them to know too that nowadays most comic books are just coming out digitally. But what I loved so much about Glenn too was he said, well, we can do digital too, but we're going to come out with a normal comic book, a nice paper comic book that people can touch and feel and smell, and that's what I wanted. And very few of those are still being made in that way. And by the way, I also want to say thank you to Canada, because I'm not sure where it is. I believe it is in Quebec. He has his comic books printed there because you do beautiful color. And when you see Ruger, you will see, it's like, you know, the old movies when they did them in Technicolor, the reds were reds and the blues were blue and the greens were green. When you see Ruger, the cover is basically, you know, the red, which I love, and then the yellow and red flames, and then she's in blue. So the colors and throughout the comic book are so vibrant. Thank you to Canada for that. So I'm very, very happy with number one, and really looking forward to bringing out number 2.
Us Canadians are nothing if not colorful. So
yes, you are, absolutely. You know, I did a movie in Toronto. It was a co-production with Germany. It was called Julie Darling, and it had it had Anthony Franciosa, who's no longer with us, but also wonderful young Isabel Mejias. She was in Scanners, and I'm sure everyone knows her from Scanners, and she is the young lead in that movie, Julie Darling. It also has another title, Daughter of Death, and it's a thriller. And if you haven't seen it, you should go out and get it. It's I think it's already out on Blu-ray as well. And that was we shot part of it in Berlin in Germany, and the other part in Toronto. So, you know, I've been to Toronto, and the first time I actually was in Toronto, I was promoting Battle Beyond the Stars, and had a wonderful time then, and I love going up there. And also I did, I don't know if you know the TV series, or if you can remember the TV series called The Hitchhiker.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was in that with Robert Vaughn, and my episode was called The Face. It was a very interesting TV series. Chesler, I think it's Chesler Perlmutter Productions, did that. And we're still in touch, and that was a very, very successful TV series. And we shot my episode in Montreal, which I also love. So thank you, Louis Chesler, if you're listening. He was he's a wonderful, I believe his company is in Toronto. So we're also talking. So I have, just to tell you that we Canadians are colorful, I've always had a very warm heart for Canada, and I'm always happy when I can come to Canada, and I look forward to doing that in the future as well.
Outstanding. Well, you'll have to let me know, and I'm always happy to give you any kind of warm feeling I can.
Thank you.
Well, you, Sybil, you brought up Battle Beyond the Stars, and you know, James Cameron and composer James Horner were both working on that film, and I mean, you had to have been amazed, you know, with what these guys went on to do.
Yes, well, it all started with Roger Roger Corman, who, as you know, and many of the fans know too, Roger Corman has started the careers of many wonderful, huge successes to date, like James Cameron. And in Battle Beyond the Stars, James was the builder of all the wonderful spaceships, including my little DART spaceship. So that was, I guess, one of his starts on that movie to become who he is today, which was amazing. And by the way, James Horner's music, who whose music is beautiful, has been, I think our music in Battle Beyond the Stars has shown up in other movies too. But then again, Roger Corman owns that music, so he can use it wherever he wants. It's become very, very popular.
Yeah, he's been known to do things like that.
Yeah. Well, but you know, Battle Beyond the Stars was the biggest budget that he had on any of his movies. And it has, up to date now, I have to say, still an incredible popularity. And I have to say, it has become, and it definitely is a classic. It has, you know, with all the wonderful possibilities and now out on Blu-ray as well, it just continues to have a life of its own. And for my fans who may not know, just this last December, a year ago, I was invited to a wonderful, it's the only science fiction film festival that Austin, Texas has, and they have one now. It was their fourth annual Austin's Otherworlds Science Fiction Film Festival. I was awarded the Defender of the Universe Award for my role as Sane X-Men in the movie. So there.
Well, congratulations on the award.
So I just want you to know I'm now the Defender of the Universe, and boy, do we need defending, don't we?
Gee, you're not kidding.
Going on, right?
Oh my God. Yeah. Thank God you're out there.
Yeah. But that's, that's just a wonderful movie. And it's like I said, a classic and a family movie. And it just keeps having a wonderful life.
Well, what I think I read something, though, you were having trouble keeping your top on and they had to Band-Aid it or something.
I see you go deep into your research.
Well, certainly in certain parts, yes, I do.
I beg your pardon. Okay, well, speaking of my part that needed help and defending, yes, we're talking about that outrageous, beautiful costume, which, by the way, I took all over Europe when I was promoting the movie. And I told Roger, I said, when we're done, I want to keep that as my souvenir. And he said, oh, yes, you can have it, Sybil. But somehow, when I was done with the tour, that costume disappeared. And I do not know where it is. But because you do a lot of research, when you do find out where it is, let me know. Because I'm, as a Defender of the Universe, I'm going to come after that person because they took it illegally, okay? It's my costume.
Well, hey, all I can tell you is it's not here.
Okay, all right, okay. But if you find out, you let me know. We had a lot of trouble. And, you know, Roger Corman is always very, very money conscious. And when he is on set, you know, the takes have to be one, two at the most, and move on because time is money. And we actually had a couple of takes where, you know, I moved and my nipples came through because the breastplates were styrofoam and they didn't hurt. They were wonderful and they were sewn onto that little, you know, bathing suit kind of body piece that I was wearing. But the plates were, there was no, I think that's the mistake we made. The only mistake with my costumes, they did not put like a skin color, you know, between the fingers. That was just fingers and there was nothing in between. So when I moved or turned, of course, then my nipples would come out and we'd have to make a break and start over again. So after the second time, Roger just, you know, he just screamed out and said, well, somebody glued Sybil into that damn costume. And they took it literally. And they came with the glue and then they glued me in. And they said, Sybil, oh, we're sorry, you know, and I said, it's okay. It was the same kind of glue, you know, that you use when you glue on hair or mustache or whatever. So the gluing part was not bad. It was just taking it off. And, of course, nipples are a little bit sensitive and the, you know, the alcohol and everything that's in there. It was just a little bit painful when you had to take that off in the evening. But that's, you know, that's just part of what the business is all about. But I'm surprised you didn't read about my other costume, because the other one, which we called the dart costume and was my combat costume that I actually commit harakiri in when I, you know, jam the stellar converter and fly into John Saxon's spaceship to blow it up. That scene where I'm, you know, laying in there, it's almost like, you know, laying in a Formula One race car. When NBC aired the movie on TV, and that's why we had problems, because it was, you know, classified as a PG and a family movie, my breasts were showing too much. I mean, there were no nipples in sight, but it was just too much breasts. And I don't know if you remember, but they actually rotoscoped, because in those days they didn't have the possibilities like today with the CGI and everything that they do. They rotoscoped my chest. So I just had this big black blotch on my chest to take away too much of my boobs that were showing, because that costume was, you know, it was elastic. And I think it took like between 15 and 20 times we had to try that on, because, you know, we cut the little holes in there to make them look like darts, because that was my combat outfit, and we thought that was a great idea to make it look like a dart. But of course, with my body, the darts got a little bigger, and so in laying in there, those darts also expanded, and it was too much for NBC. So there's, you know, but those are always the stories and the moments that gave the movie another reason to have publicity. And besides it being a great story and wonderful actors, and I mean, Akira Kurosawa, you know, started it all, and then we did that, and it's been done before. Remember the one with Horst Buchholz? I kind of played like the Horst Buchholz character, you know, that goes along with the men, and I'm the only woman. He was like the weakling. And then, you know, Lou Ferrigno and I went on in Italy to do the Seven Magnificent Gladiators, which was just another take of the Akira Kurosawa's Seven Samurai. So he started it, and some wonderful movies have come from it, and Battle Beyond the Stars is one of them, and I'm very honored to have been a part of it.
Well, I just want to say, NBC, that's like slapping God in the face, I'm just saying. Sybil, I know you you got to get going. You got a lot of script to write and whatnot, so I don't want to hold you up here too much longer, but I want to end on this one. This is a quote from you. I love being a strong female on the screen. It suits me fine, and I think it's nice that young girls can see some of their own inner fantasies on film. Boys have Clint Eastwood. I hope that girls enjoy seeing me leap about. Now, when it comes to strong female characters on screen, where do you think we're at right now?
You know, that's a very good question. I think we are still doing basically, you know, I was told by the press that I was the pioneer, then Angelina Jolie came along and was able to do Tomb Raider, and so she then carried the torch. And now we have Hunger Games, and we have wonderful movies now, Wonder Woman. I think that it's never going to go backwards. It's never going to go back again where we were. I don't care who's president. I had a tough time in the 80s because it was the Reagan era, it was the macho era, and the wonderful movie called Gloria was the Cassavetes movie, was the last time that a woman picked up a gun. That was 1980, and then throughout the 80s, because of the political climate with, you know, the Reagan era, it was just so macho, and it was Rambo and Commando and all the male-driven movies. But that is when the Cormans of the world and the independent producers produced movies like Battle Beyond the Stars and other movies where I played strong women's roles because the studios weren't doing it. But the wonderful writers were still out there, and they wanted to see strong women, and women came to see strong women, and men loved to see strong women. And so I'm happy that I could be a part of that, and I feel that today it just has continued, and Wonder Woman has come back and stronger than ever with a beautiful movie. And I think today we are just furthering what we started, and it'll never go back. We won't let it.
Well, you can't put the toothpaste back in the tube, right? And who would want to?
That's right. That's right. Women, and we know that by box office is wonderful when the men go and see action movies, but it's all the more successful when more women go in too, and the women add on to the action movies because women want to see it as well. So as long as men love seeing it and women go out to see it, we're going to make movies. And also there are more, it's slower in that sense, but there are more women directors, you know, now than we've ever had before. So there are more women making movies, and I think we just have to keep and continue doing what we're doing. So I can only say I'm happy about that. Thank you. I want to thank all of my fans for being so loyal. And please go to, so you can see what's happening and what's going on, besides going and listening to the Casey Ferguson show to know what's going on. You can also, in between, go to SybilDanning.net, Facebook.com/SybilDanning, and Twitter.com/SybilDanning.
Fantastic. Well, I hope everyone will check you out on social media. And of course, hit up your website. You got all kinds of autographed memorabilia and such up there. I hope everyone will check that out and maybe pick a little something up for Christmas.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time. I'd love to have you back if you'd like to come back and talk to me again, if I wasn't too puerile and too much of a pain in your ass.
No, I think when I will let Peter know when I have some concrete things happening, like the things I don't want to talk about right now. And the two major ones are Ruger the movie and the second comic book and issue number 2 and the vampire movie. I think then would be a good time to plug that.
100%. Well, definitely right. get in touch, Sybil, and we'll get you back on here. I'd love to have you back.
All right. And I would love to come back. Thank you. Merry Christmas to you. Happy holidays and a very happy new year. Okay?
Thank you. Right back at you, Sybil. I hope you have a great Christmas, and I hope the new year brings you everything you're looking for with all these new projects and much prosperity.
Thank you. It was great being on with you, and like I said, all the best and happy new year, and take care. Okay?
All right.
And give my love to Canada. Okay?
Outstanding. All right. You take care now, Sybil.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Part talk show, part rock show. You are listening to the Casey Ferguson Show on Amherst Island Radio 92.1 FM.
Where'd they get the torches and the pitchforks so fast?
Shut up! Put your weight against the door, they're coming in!
That was my conversation with the luscious and the lovely queen of the B film, Sybil Danning.
I have a strange yearning for some melons.
To keep up with all things Sybil, check out SybilDanning.net or Facebook and Twitter at Sybil Danning. While I'm plugging away, it would only make sense to thank my sponsor here on 92.1. The new exclusive sponsor of the Casey Ferguson Show is Jaybird Digital Arts. Your brand is important to you, and Jaybird Digital Arts has been building brand identities for events, bands, venues, and companies in Eastern Ontario for years. They listen first and then take your imaging to the next level with a combination of sketching, scanning, photography, and Photoshop. Contact them directly to discuss your needs, and always be sure to let them know what kind of budget you have. They can always do something within your budget. You can find all their contact information and check out their portfolio at jaybirddigitalarts.com. You can't afford to have good-looking stuff. You can't afford not to. Jaybird Digital Arts has been a longtime sponsor of the Casey Ferguson Show podcast, and I'm happy to have them on board with me here at 92.1 FM, so I hope you show them some loving.
He's in for some loving.
Let's talk more rock. Let's get back to the music. Here's some acoustic Godsmack for you. This is Touché on the Casey Ferguson Show.
And I'd only do for you what He's back, and this time, he's mad. Gandhi 2, no more Mr. Passive Resistance. He's out to kick some butt. This is one bad mother you don't want to mess with.
Don't move, slime ball.
He's a one-man wrecking crew. But he also knows how to party. Hey, Mama,
give me a steak, medium rare.
Hey, Baldy!
There is only one law. His law. Gandhi 2.
You're listening to The Casey Ferguson Show.
Checking into leaving, yeah, I'm 40. I'm tired of breaking down and shaking this life around. I'm tired of praying, yeah, I'm tired of trying myself. I'm tired of being taken all the way.
No!
rocking and rolling, strutting and strolling, ramming and jamming. You are listening to the Casey Ferguson Show on Amherst Island Radio 92.1 FM. From the album No Pleasantries, that was UPO, Godless, and before that was Godsmack, featuring Lee Richards and John Cosco of Dropbox with Touche. Well, Wildcats, it's time for me to break the news. I've decided to leave 92.1 FM, at least for the time being. People like to talk, so let me nip this in the bud and explain why so that there's no confusion. The main reason is, it takes a lot of time and effort to put this show together for you, and I'm absolutely swamped. With so much to do and so little time, I have to cut something out, and unfortunately, it's gonna have to be this radio show. In the interest of health and happiness, I have to do it. I'll look at things down the road, and if the situation has changed, perhaps I'll be back. Look, I think it's been a great run. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Reese Winans from Stevie Ray Vaughan and Double Trouble has been here, Grammy winners Johnny Lang and Eric Johnson have been here, the first ever Olympic gold medalist in men's snowboarding Ross Rebliati has been here, film and TV stars, local musicians, and craft brewers have been here, and of course, it's been my privilege to spin so many great songs for you. I hope you've had as much fun listening to this show as I've had making it. I think the real miracle here is the fact that I haven't been fired, so I've composed a short list of my guesses as to why I haven't been fired. It is as follows. No one's actually listened to my show. Sexual favors to the board of directors, they don't have to pay me. The last guy was even worse. I've got friends in low places. A simple oversight. Procrastination. That bomb threat I called in. Jerry Springer wasn't available. No one knows I'm here in the first place. Potential paternity suits. A fear of change. A misguided notion that I may improve. It's worse torture to let me stay. They're trying to kill me with kindness. That time I brought in the brownies that were really good. The cyanide should have kicked in by now. My strong standing in the Haitian community. I'm bound to skip bail eventually. Management believes I'm disabled. I'm the only one who changes the mulch in the station toilet. Their attempt at alcohol poisoning failed miserably. My smell keeps the critters away. I've proven impervious to mustard gas. They did, but I kept showing up anyway. The powers that be reckon my lifestyle will probably kill me first. The rum is always gone. Rugged good looks. The colors, man. The beautiful colors. Or lastly, they figured, who cares? No one can get the station in clearly anyway. Well, it's been swell. Thanks to CJAI for the opportunity and a tip of the hat to the most aerodynamic president in Amherst Island radio history, Mr. Eric Tremblay, for his continued patience and hard work. Thank you once again to Jason Reese at Jaybird Digital Arts for being such a kick-ass sponsor during my run here at Amherst Island Radio. And last but not least, thank you to all of you who have listened to and supported this show. The Casey Ferguson Show podcast will continue, so should you want to hear more of me, head over to CaseyFergusonShow.com. I wish you all nothing but the best in the new year. Concrete Blonde will play us out with a song called Heal It Up. Remember, it's only an island if you look at it from the water. Until next time, this is Casey Ferguson, over and out.
You were the chief.